President Trump is continuing to face criticism over his response to the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The latest pushback now includes members of his own party. And it comes after a statement from the president yesterday that stressed the importance of American arms contracts with Saudi Arabia over punishing the country for its official role in the murder. Speaking to reporters at the White House this morning, Trump reiterated this point.
It's all about America first. We're not going to give up hundreds of billions of dollars in orders and let Russia, China, and everybody else have them. It's all about, for me, very simple. It's America first.
Saeed Khan is a senior lecturer in Near East and Asian Studies and Global Studies at Wayne State University. Saeed, thanks for joining us.
Judith, thanks for having me.
American intelligence officials came to a determination this week about what happened with Jamal Khashoggi's death. Can you tell us what they found?
Well, the CIA came up with an assessment that, and this is no real surprise, that the buck really stops with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, also known as MBS, who in effect is ruling Saudi Arabia. His 83-year-old father suffers from dementia and is not really handling the day-to-day affairs. It's also important to know that the State Department has also notified journalists, including those at Al Jazeera, that it is, quote, blindingly obvious, unquote, that MBS is responsible for this. Nothing can really happen within the kingdom without the authorization, at the very least, the knowledge of the Crown Prince. So this is simply just a confirmation of something that not only our intelligence services, but those around the world have surmised regarding what happened to Mr. Khashoggi in Istanbul.
We just heard a statement from the president, and it certainly sounds like jobs and the economy override just about everything else for him. How big a departure is that from past presidents?
I think the main departure here, Judith, is the glaring candor by which President Trump is, in fact, articulating what has been known for a very long time, and that is that whether it's under the guise of realpolitik or other kinds of geostrategic interests and under the name of national security, that the United States does make its alliances and its policies based on certain considerations. Now, whether those are purely economic, those are purely defense industry coordinated, or in this case, both, that remains to be seen. What we do find, though, that is startling is the fact that the rhetoric is so candid. Generally speaking, while this is always within the subterfuge of American foreign policy, presidents tend to be a lot more nuanced, a lot more subtle, and a lot more tactful in talking at least the language of human rights, not just to go ahead and toe the line about American values, but also to signal leaders around the world, in the case of MBS and others like him, that there's certain lines that cannot be crossed. Here, what we find is that the president has certainly signaled to Mohammed bin Salman, as well as others, one could argue, that the paramount nature of contracts and the financial considerations are what's going to matter over what has been stated American values.
We're talking with Saeed Khan right now. He's senior lecturer in Near East and Asian Studies and Global Studies at Wayne State University, talking about the president's position on the killing of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. And let's go to Charlie in Milwaukee on the phone right now. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'd like your guest to expand on his idea about the candor and how maybe isn't this refreshing to have a commander-in-chief who is telling the American people the truth about how they're making decisions. FDR worked with Stalin after the pogroms to take on Hitler. Obama worked with Iran after the Green Revolution and the number of people killed there to try and achieve something good for the United States. Shouldn't we applaud Trump rather than be attacking him for what's going on?
Thanks for that call, Charlie. So Charlie's saying, you know, this is nothing new for how presidents deal with international issues. The difference is how honest they're being about it.
I think that Charlie makes a very good point, Judith. I think the main difference, though, compared to what his examples were. Franklin Roosevelt certainly did coordinate, at least to a certain degree, with Joseph Stalin and with Churchill during World War II. But that was a very limited engagement, and certainly when the war concluded, both President Truman, FDR's successor, and then every president hence, took a very firm posture against the Soviet Union and curbed Soviet expansion wherever it could with the policy of containment. Similarly, in the case of President Obama, when it came to Iran, this was part of a grand strategy to bring balance back into the region of the Middle East. Now, in the case of President Trump, what is most troubling is not just his candor and not his doubling down with MBS, but really what seems to be a very flawed direction of American foreign policy, at the very least, retreating from what has been, until now, a very successful nuclear deal that President Obama had signed with Iran that involved five other countries as well, but also the specter and the threat of a potential escalation of conflict with war, almost a provocation of war with Iran. And we have three leaders who all seem to have domestic issues to contend with, who are certainly baying for a further escalation with Iran. We have Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel, who just barely escaped a vote of no confidence, essentially by a one-vote majority for his fragile coalition government in the Knesset. We certainly have President Trump, who has come through the midterm elections a bit more bruised and battered, and facing the possibility of Special Counsel Mueller's report coming out any day. And then we have MBS, who is certainly petulant and has showed his recklessness with the war in Yemen, as well as his isolation with Qatar, his neighbor. So this is not a very good combination, nor is it a policy direction that is going to be beneficial to the United States.
This is not the first time that President Trump has chosen not to embrace the findings of his American intelligence agencies. There has also been a lot of information about Russian meddling in the 2016 election that he has rejected. What signal does that send to other leaders on the international stage?
Generally, American foreign policy has involved two very important components that seem to be lacking here with the current president. One is the use of diplomacy. Being diplomatic means to be tactful, means to be subtle, means to be nuanced, where candor doesn't have to be the priority. It doesn't mean dishonesty at the same time is something that is lauded. But there are ways, there's a language, there's a rhetoric that is part of the international terminology that should be used. The other part of American foreign policy is a united front. The idea that even if there are disagreements and even if there are conflicts between the White House and its own agencies, whether it is a National Security Agency, the CIA, the State Department, or even with Congress, there is, generally speaking, a united voice when it comes to what is critical for American strategic and national security interests. Here we find that the signaling is that there really is a hodgepodge and an awful lot of confusion of who really is speaking for the United States. And generally speaking, although the president is the commander-in-chief, the idea of sounding as authoritarian as the current administration is, or the current president is a real departure from what we've seen in America's history.
Of course, a lot of this story focuses on U.S.-Saudi relations, but the killing of Jamal Khashoggi happened in the Saudi embassy in Turkey, and Turkey is a very valuable ally to the U.S. as well. You just got back from Istanbul, Saeed. What is the tone there when people are watching what's going on?
Well, in Istanbul, it was very interesting because as the information is trickling out, and some would say cynically that the Turkish authorities are doing this on purpose in order to keep MBS on his back foot, we find that there's an awful lot of outrage that there is, in a sense, an encroachment on the sovereignty of Turkey. Yes, the incident did take place in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, which is, technically speaking, Saudi soil. But the fact that that the Saudis decided to take such a brazen action in a country, another Muslim country for that matter, certainly doesn't sit well with the Turkish people. At the same time, because President Erdogan has such a strong following and strong support within his country, we're finding that this is probably going to be infectious across the Muslim world. Now it seems as though there are two centers of gravity that exist. The theological, of course, will remain with Saudi Arabia because of the holy cities of Mecca and Medina being there. But the idea of a political, civilization, and cultural epicenter embodied and represented by Turkey, especially with its six centuries old Ottoman tradition, that seems to be rejuvenated now. And I think that what we're going to find is for a good amount of the Muslim world, they're going to start to incline more toward what they see is a Turkey that certainly still plays by the rules. Now, make no mistake, Erdogan certainly has his issues with journalists. He has detained and arrested and imprisoned scores of them. But at the same time, the kind of venal corruption that is being personified by Saudi Arabia currently is going to have a long-term ripple effect with Muslims both in Turkey as well as further out in the Muslim world at large.
Saeed, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Judith.
That was Saeed Khan, Senior Lecturer in Near East and Asian Studies and Global Studies at Wayne State University. He was with us to talk about the latest on Saudi-American relations after the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi.